recently there about I was thinking about the way we were inclined to use machines to remember stuff for us that we used to probably remember in our brains, like previously. I was wondering how far that process could be pushed and would be pushed. That's called a memory house. I outsourced all of my memories to machines. Addresses, specifics, had long been the stuff of paper and pen. Numbers went then. Colleagues and loves to a SIM card. I delegated sat-navs to remember my way for me. And mobile devices to safeguard my trivia. What's tungsten? Where's Louvain? I renounced given names. Swapped pins for a fingerprint. Transplanted recollection wholesale. Summers, Christmases, to vast mainframes humming with our warehoused ears. To liberate capacity, of course. Brain space, cortical megabytes, but mainly just to do without what memories bring. Their mockery, the guilt, above all else, the dreams. And now, thank Christ, I can remember nothing except for this. This stay against night. This precaution for sleeplessness I couldn't let go of. Hard-coded into my remembrance, two women. Two sisters. Aisling, I'm beside you in the high ceiling, the music room. I watch your apt hands, disdainful, aloof to themselves, to the keys. They send a mist of arpeggios through the conservatory, over each sloped lawn to the lowest terrace of the garden. I feel welcome here in your mother's house. I feel a welcome guest as I watch your careful, frolicking hands or study the sun dove's garden. Then I spot Sergia dancing, rehearsing her steps at the steps to the riverbed. The apple trees acclaim her drowsy solo, speckled her with confetti. Her blonde form is fixed in the adagio's glissades, forgetful of the water's photographic stillness, of your half-heard music, of how they watch her from the bridge, or from across the river, the ordinary families on the park's municipal paths. She ignores them. She shapes a taut arc of enfolding, extends her arms sunward, turns on her toe tips. Good night.
Lovely stuff. Next up we have, she's just run out the door. We had. Is she? Next up we have Ross Lindberg.
Actually, then I thought I was number four, so I ran out. All right, I'm bringing a new poem. It's called The Hobo. I am the homeless man of the city. I sit by the shop fronts on the streets. The cup before me fills and drops, and I clearly hear your thoughts. My funds are for my family's needs. Yes, times are tough, but I am sure of what I need, you do have more. I'm the hobo on the streets of the city. My coat is torn and brown from dirt. I reek my stink against the wind so people avoid passing near me and no one speaks a gentle word. But I can clearly hear them think, clean yourself up and get a job. All in vain for the lack of a shower. I'm the hobo on the streets of the town. I'm the filthy bum of the city. My skin is weathered, red and rough from winds and rain, and itchy from the dirt and dust of the street and the cheap grub that I eat. I am hungry with no kitchen, nor any food to cook. I am the hobo on the sticky streets of the city. At night I sleep on a cardboard plane or hidden under it in the rain. My shelter is the entrance of a bank. From that golden hole in the wall I see people drop bundles of notes, yet my cup's fill is ever so small, and the banksters are surely bailed out. I'm just the hobo in the city streets. Cold in the drizzle, clammy my clothes, my sleeping bag is my lonely home and only the booze consoles me. So my face is red, I can't walk straight, but I clearly hear people think, it's your own fault, just stop the drink. Unaware that I'd die here without it. I'm a hobo on the streets of the city. I am the begging bum of the town. I lost my house in the tiger's crash. Then I got ill, but no welfare for me. I prefer to work and I'm home still, with shower, my bed and my kitchen. And for my health, a good daily meal. But no one bails me out, homeless, at the street corners of so many towns.
Thanks, Tim. And next we have Annette Skade.
This is instead of a postcard. It's called Arethusa. Journeys last in salt. Vibrating threads of swallow blue and cyan stream along the folds of the sea. A thousand ways to tax the wind. To home, from home. Oikade, oikasen. She became a crystal dart, pushed into sheets of Ionian silk and out at white Sicilian stone. Drew through a cord of sweet water from homeland to opposing shore to fill a parched Greek hand, an unquenchable cup in the shape of a tear.
Outside the door, you and your tree-hugging wimps, rent-a-crowd cynics, stained PC is no concern of mine. You darken this doorway again with your skeptics and mint-loving lefties, sandals and pot, and I'll unleash my own Hector and Kosh. Sorry, the hand in this, so if you don't like it, you know what to do. Stockyard. The rasping scream unleashes a cascade of sparks, angling across steel decks to the last green harp pile and beyond, where the spring tide line is drawn black on green, landweed strewn with seaweed. Welder's blue arc sizzles in a pyrotechnic burst as the heron gazes like Narcissus into his likeness. Silence again, except for the steady rhythm. He turns his long neck to gape at the squashed hose, pulsing to plumpness where it droops lightly over the edge. The hidden pump gushes its mantra, pachung, pachung, pachung. Thank you.
Thanks, Seamus. I really, really like some, but it looks like Mary Muff. Mary Muff here? That's Jerry Murphy.
Using on immortality in McDonald's. And so Billy Ramsey. What he's done for me over the years. No. Not that appalling half-life envisaged by Plato, unable to chew or sip amongst the ideal archetypes of his gloomy Elysium, nor condemned to swarm with those twittering shades blown from one end of Hades to the other by searing contrary winds. Or worse still, to be faffing about on fluffy white wings, cloud hopping from one angelic chorus to the next in an otherwise abandoned paradise. I mean the vibrant, here-and-now existence of the old Greek gods, the ability to act, to intervene, to influence, to enter the phrase among the tense and sufferous bone-shuddering clash, securing the knowledge that were impervious to harm. To have the full run of heaven and earth, indulging every whim instantly from breakfast rolls to hoodies, complete body shaves to indefinite lions. Spend 1,000 years writing a haiku, 1,000 years googling yourself, 1,000 years rummaging through old photographs of ex-girlfriends without any appreciable sense of wasted time. Best of all, to choose some idyllic moments from each of these shining sagas, freeze-frame them and expand them into infinity before dwelling briefly or at length within their sweet, eternal amber. Hold that thought. Here's my next
Mary. And next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Bob. This is called The Last Ugly Duckling Speaks. Signet colour memories beat a well-worn path to the depth of my psyche. As I play the ugly duckling part to the express sense of a no-brainer. You buy me a pint out of sympathy, trying to return of late into your barricading arms. Sorrow is not a problem, as you say that thick ice is an store. But once you're looking closely, I believe everything to be true. We are not here to enjoy ourselves, as I said, worshipping an incandescent idol. The wearing of charms was not sufficient, as was the bearing of arms, tricking ideologies, more a burning god, a light in my manifesto. Counting bones the traditional way, suck the marrow out of existence, the incandescent treat that God gives us, and electrocute the dry, grey matter just to understand the no-brainer again. Thank you.
Thanks, Trish. And to end up the open mic tonight, we have Simon Deasy.
Yeah. Just two short poems. The first one is called Sing, 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 Sing. I feel more and more like an idiot every day, like I'm really making steady progress back to the start. Every time that I begin to write, it is as if I have never written before. Time after time it appears to be so, and I think about the tense, and whether to write you as in you, or I as in me, or you as in her, or else maybe she, and I think about how it felt, feeling the cold concrete of the floor pressed against my cheek, while warm steel pinches the wrist bones resting on the small of my back. And I remember hearing someone else in the cell singing Big River by Johnny Cash, loudly. And I recall wishing that they had the sense to stop before they made life worse for the both of us. Of the world and I, one must concede. It will never be right. It will never be me. Thanks. And this second poem is a short poem I wrote having unexpectedly found myself texting an old flame, the brightest one. And It's called The Most Beautiful Song. You are waiting for me while I hear the most beautiful song that my soul has not felt in so long, in so long. You are waiting for me, and a part of your mind must have me on it, as a part of my heart must know that I'm holding you again, but as a palm cups snow.